Good morning, Legby family. It's good to be with you today. My wife and I pray you are well and healthy and that you've had a restful weekend. My voice, by the way, may struggle. It's been a long week of talking, so I apologize if I sound like I just woke up. I did not. Okay. Today, I will continue our look into the work and person of the Holy Spirit. What I'd like to do is ask or propose a set of questions as I go along from a text about the Holy Spirit that I have found very helpful. I've been answering a lot of questions over the last 4 months or so, and I thought it'd be interesting to at least ask some of those while thinking through a text with you. Now, do not let me be the only one. That does this. I want you to use that chat box below and go ahead and pose your questions and answers in the text box, in the chat box. And I will be reading as I go along. So this morning, all right? Okay, let me begin by reading a portion of scripture from Romans 8, beginning at verse 18. It says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from the bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Well, the very first question I have of this text is when the Bible says that creation groans like a woman in labor pains, what is that referring to? Well, the Bible says, yes, the creation and our body groans between two spaces, really, right? The sufferings of our present time and the redemption of creation. The imagery is really descriptive of a pregnant woman who is waiting for the revealing of her child. As the baby gets closer to delivery, to being revealed, there are labor pains, and those labor pains increase. It is a reference to feeling, though, something deeply within herself. This isn't a passive or passing feeling. Rather, this is something that's centered deep within us. It is not limited to an individual, but also can be the collective trauma of a community, such as when Kobe Bryant passed away, or whenever there's a great event that all of us share, there is a collective, deeply centered hurt. Recently, the death of George Floyd became that collective trauma, a deep groan within us. Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and others historically have also represented this moment of collective trauma or deep hurt, deeply centered within us. So the Bible says then that creation and our bodies are experiencing deeply centered pains in response to the brokenness of our world? Well, my second question of this text is then when the writer says, of Romans says that the groans come from the Holy Spirit interceding for us, what is intercession? And what does that look like? Okay. Well, many think about intercession in certain Christian traditions as intercessory prayer. But in this context, intercession is the work of the Holy Spirit. And throughout the Bible, there are stories of God's interceding. What is important to understand is intercession is when God interrupts and interrogates the circumstances of creation's brokenness. Interrupts and interrogates the circumstances of creation's brokenness, right? Holy Spirit is an interrupter, a disruptor, and an interrogator of human condition. So the question within that is, how are we experiencing Holy Spirit's interruptions, disruptions, and interrogations of our brokenness right now? Do we view pandemics and protests and political divisions as the interruptions of normativity? Or do we believe that the pandemics and the protests are normative behaviors from which God, Holy Spirit, intercedes? Well, then next I ask the text a different question. I ask the text then, so what? Why is this even important, right? Well, today, the way Christianity has been set up, you might think then that the Holy Spirit is interceding using the pandemic, protests and politics and divisions and other things as God's judgment on the world. But the way Romans 8 orients our thinking challenges that notion. In fact, Romans 8 argues things like pandemics and protests are the normative activities of a fallen world. Selfishness and pride and produce injustice. Injustice produces protest and civil unrest. Broken relationships produce systems of oppression that marginalize. And these systems reproduce themselves by accepting some and not others. And it is Holy Spirit, then, Romans 8 argues, Holy Spirit intercedes, interrupts, interrogates these spaces. Now, you may ask, but Tally, do you have an actual example, right, of a contemporary example of what this looks like? Can you operationalize this? Like, how does it show up? Well, it shows up in the space in a very contemporary way. There are real examples we have. Like, there's, and I know the examples may not be what we think they're supposed to be, and that's part of the problem with this text, right? Is it sets us up in a way that really speaks to how we think about this sort of thing. So let me use this example of what it means for the Holy Spirit to intercede, interrogate, and interrupt. An Asian family was sitting in a restaurant in California celebrating a birthday this week when a man decided on his own to rudely and violently threaten this family. The racism and nationalism that were abundant in his conversation, though just a few minutes, were met with resistance from an employee who, with her broken and trembling voice, demanded the behavior stop and that the man leave immediately. She named that as violence and as unacceptable and as unwanted in this space. For me, this is an example of what it means to intercede. Well, lastly, I ask the text the question, what does it tell us to do? Like, what are we supposed to do? And in answering that question, I realized I needed to do two other things at the same time, right? I need to tell you the rest of the story of Romans 8. And that is that the Holy Spirit's interceding takes us from full embrace of hopelessness to a hopefulness, right? It moves us from hopelessness to hopefulness. And that's the place we have to move. We are essentially embracing hopelessness with the knowing that the Holy Spirit is interceding to create hope in our lives. As a kid, I learned songs in the African American church that spoke of hope. One of them goes like this. I have hope when trouble comes my way. I have hope since Jesus has come to stay. I have hope when things are not well with me. I have hope. It's a beautiful hope and it sets me free. Now, this was written and recorded in 1968 by the Roberta Martin Singers. Imagine 1968 singing that song. Martin Luther King dead, Bobby Kennedy dead, Malcolm X dead. And in 1968, after all of that, a song of hope. You can find this recording on YouTube, by the way. Take a listen this week and let it bless you. Now, I said I needed to do two things. The second thing is the end of Romans 8 is one of the most inspirational readings in Scripture. The question is posed, what can separate us or who can separate us from the love of God? The answer comes back, nothing. Will hardship or distress? No. Famine? No. Peril or sword? No. And then the writer describes those for whom the Holy Spirit intercedes. Who are these who are inseparable from the love of God? We are like sheep to be slaughtered. Sheep to be slaughtered, but are yet more than conquerors because of the love of God. In this way, the sheep are insulated by hope and love. So we don't have to isolate ourselves from the world because we are insulated by hope and love. Okay, so now let me answer the original question. So what am I supposed to do? Okay, here's one caveat. Except that Christianity has become what Douglas John Hall calls an imperialistic church of the centuries, cutting a silly figure in the world when it tries to lord itself over others, behaving absurdly in a superior way. Whatever you do, think of it like this. Our simplistic superhero notions of Jesus and Christianity are based in empire. And it prevents us from seeing how God, like that woman in the restaurant, empowers sheep, not superheroes. Whatever you do, don't be a superhero, because Holy Spirit will come through the fear and brokenness and a trembling voice, often outside of our ability to control. Because sheep don't control very much, let alone those who are ready for slaughter. Friends, the Holy Spirit empowers the broken, the unknowing. Holy Spirit empowers the confused and the trembling. The Holy Spirit empowers the weak and the feeble and the downtrodden. Scripture evidences that the Holy Spirit empowers the burdened and the left out. That the Holy Spirit comes to and sits upon those that are forgotten and passed over, those who are diminished and set aside. The Holy Spirit envelops the hurting and the wounded and sits heavy upon the dejected and rejected. Yes, this is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit comes to you and to me. The Holy Spirit is coming for us, a people with a deep groan for the brokenness of this world, empowering our feeble and fearful selves. We do not have to be many, Lake B. In fact, we don't have to be many at all. We do not have to be great. We do not have to be powerful. We do not have to be rich. We do not have to be abundant. And we don't have to be wealthy. We simply have to groan. We simply have to sit with a deep groan for the brokenness of the world. And then Holy Spirit empowers that condition. Remember the second clause of verse 18. the suffering is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Our prayer is that the glory of God be revealed as we embrace the deep pains of our world, insulated by hope and inseparable love. As sheep ready for the slaughter, we interrupt and interrogate the broken spaces and places of this life. God bless you. I hope this message finds you. Let us pray. God of all grace, intercede. God of hope, interrupt. God of love, interrogate. So we who are in no way seeking to be superheroes may, in the feebleness of ways, be moved by you to enter into the brokenness of life. May we do so in your name. Amen. God bless you, family. We love you.